It's a good story from way back in the day when I loved what I did for a living. In the early 90s, I worked for 9X Phone Company, and I loved working there. I loved it. I loved it so much that I would commute on foot, subway, commuter rail, bus, and then on foot an hour and a half each way just to get to work. And I would have done it forever until even after I had a kid, except for the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993. My baby was in New York City, and I was stuck in the woods in this silver office building, unable to get home. So we finally moved out, but I stayed working for 9X. And then in 1997, the powers that be decided to merge 9X with Bell Atlantic. And three things happened. First of all, the workforce was reduced dramatically because there were overlaps and synergies. They called them synergies. They called people who were getting the boot synergy targets. And the number of acronyms doubled. And New York and New England no longer hated each other from 9X because they were united north against the south. So what they decided to do was they decided to mix it up. So they had people from north teams reporting to people in the south, and they had people from a variety of south teams reporting to people in the north. That meant that several times a week, people were flying all over the eastern seaboard, and the Delta shuttle terminal really looked like the water cooler. And it was back, you know, when you can go, the Delta shuttle thing was the kind of thing where you can get there in 15 minutes before the plane left, buy a ticket, walk right onto the plane, it was open seating, and on any given flight there would be 10, 12, 15 people from Bell Atlantic sitting near you, and that's what they did to sort of mix us up. And, you know, I worked for a southerner. She was dumb as dirt. And, she would have these conference calls, and by the time she actually, you know, figured out how to turn on her computer and work the phones, you know, I would have knocked off like 10 or 12 jokes to my colleagues about it. So that was, things were finally getting smooth. And then the powers that be in 2000 decided to merge Bell Atlantic with GTE so that we would become Verizon, the new phone company. So that had the effect of no longer was it the North against the South. It was the North and the South united East versus West. So we were flying not only between Boston, New York, and D.C., we were now flying mostly to Dallas and Tampa, where the main IT people were. And, it became impossible for people to get together. So Verizon, we had a lot of tools, telecommuting tools, that allowed us to have virtual meetings. And but we still did a fair amount of traveling. And it wasn't until 9/11 when all that flying stopped and everybody was just really staying close to home. So we would be, you know, on our phone calls and, you know, teleconferences, each person in their own location. And in my case, I had people I worked with in Boston, Virginia, Dallas, Tampa, D.C., another part of Virginia, New Jersey, Connecticut, you name it. We were all part of one team. Now, by this time, it was the mid-2000s, I had moved so that I was only 2 miles from my office. I had my own office. It had heat. It had air conditioning, unlike my house. I was able to wear jeans to work and a work shirt. Nobody, you know, my team didn't see me, so I had a really good setup. My kids were safely ensconced in an after-school program a mile from the office. So there was no reason for me not to go into the office. However, a lot of other people were working from home, and it was right around that time I decided I needed to do some home renovations. And I also thought I might want to try learning how to cook a little bit. So I started The addiction that became an addiction for me as well, which is working from home. So supported by a number of tools. So I found that I could be on two conference calls simultaneously and slowly caramelize onions. And I learned how to make a fig sauce, and I did very involved recipes, and no one was the wiser. I was at work. Everybody was communicating and working all day long. And in 2004, early 2004, I was asked to be a beta tester for a product called Iobi. And I didn't know what it meant. I still don't know what it stands for. You know, it could be integrated office business information. It could be idiotic, office business nonsense, whatever it was. All I know is what it did was it allowed you to get all your email, voicemail, and phone information on your computer. But more importantly, it allowed you to direct your office phone to ring on your cell phone. So, for example, if you were at the greengrocer's picking up parsnips for your soup and your boss from Arlington called you, you could look at your phone and say, Ivy Eisenberg, Verizon, and carry on a phone conversation. And it worked. So one day I was in Stop and Shop, and I get a call, and I see it's a 617 number. It wasn't my boss. It was from Boston. And I pick up the phone, and I say, Ivy Eisenberg, Verizon. And it's like, Ivy, it's Jennifer. Jennifer was our internal client. She's like, you have to pull 343332 out of the release and put in 3330 instead, and let me know what the ETA is going to be and when we could do acceptance testing and what the impact is going to be on the rest of the release. And I'm like, sure, that's fine, that's fine. And then just then over the loudspeaker says, attention, Stop and Shop customers. Order number 73 is available for pickup at the deli counter. Please pick up your order 73 at the deli counter. And Jennifer's like, Ivy, are you at the office? And I'm like, I'm on my way back to my desk. I'll email you the ETA. So luckily for me, I had the transitive property of large companies, which was Jennifer hated my boss. I hated my boss, and therefore Jennifer liked me. So I didn't get fired that day. But everybody worked from home, and at one point in the Arlington office, where many of the evil managers were, they decided to do a walkthrough of the office, and 85% of the people were not working in the office, despite the fact that only 10% were officially work from home people. So they instituted a new policy. They instituted a number of policies. You had to fill out a form if you wanted to work from home, and being the next Rachel Ray was not one of the items that you could check off, so we had to go on the phone, but I was still able to pull the charade. And then you had to be by your instant messaging system. You couldn't be off instant messaging for more than 15 minutes at a time. So as long as you can make it to your screen and make sure nobody was trying to get you and you weren't going idle, you were fine, and, you know, cooking up a storm in my case. And I know it wasn't cyber sex, but it might well have been, because it was a bunch of slobbering, underweared people posing as something they're not all day long, right? And so one beautiful summer day, it's Friday, it's 4:15, and I decide, it's quiet, I'm going to pick up my daughter from camp. So at this point, my husband was also working at Verizon, at being the operative word. He was actually working from home in the next office next to me, at home. And I said, look, I'm going to pick up Margo, you know, whatever. So I go, it's 4:15, Friday, beautiful day. I go sit by the picnic benches outside the building, you know, soaking in the summer air. And all of a sudden, I get a call from my husband. And he's like, Noreen, just IM'd you looking for you. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, and no way would I get back within 15 minutes. I'm like, oh my goodness, all right, keep cool, figure out what are you going to say. So it was like, I said, what did she say, what did she say? She goes, she asked, Ivy, are you there? And I said, okay, say, yes, what's up? I figured, you know, suitably light. So my husband typed into my computer, yes. What's up? And I'm like, okay, what did she say? What did she say? He said, she didn't answer. She didn't answer. And by this time, you know, my daughter's skipping out of the building. And I'm like, hurry up. Get in the car. I said, okay, I'll be right home. Hurry up. Get in the car. And I was like, she goes, what happened? What happened? I'm getting in trouble. I'm getting in trouble. Just get in the car. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So I'm racing. And my, you know, like my eyes are burning. And I'm like steaming up. And I stop at a red light. And I call my husband. I'm like, did she say anything? Did she say? He goes, she didn't answer. She didn't answer. So we get home, and I go on, and I look on the computer, and there it is, 4:18 p.m., Ivy Eisenberg, colon, yes, what's up? And no response. So I type in, did you need something? It's now 4:47. And I left up my computer just in case to make sure I wasn't, you know, anywhere other than where I should be by 5. She never got back to me. I was bed checked. I passed. I passed. So I left there a couple of months after that, in December 2006, and you know, 3 or 4 months after that, I get a phone call on my cell phone, and I look, and it's from Chase through to my work email through IOB. I had never turned off my IOB, so it was forwarding my calls, right? I could no longer get in. And Verizon being what it was, the administrative assistant who would have turned off my phone had gotten laid off before I left. So I had my office phone. I stayed connected to the phone company for another 2-3 years before I finally called them up and said, okay, look, you know, shut off my phone. So that's my cyber story. Thank you.